I noticed something in my Bible, and I thought, well, I'll take a look over there, and I'll take a look at another scripture, and I got started, and by the time Kenneth finished, I had a message, and I had one, an overhead projector prepared, but I thought, you know, I think the church needs this. I certainly think I needed it to remind me of some things. And so this morning, I'm just going to stand up here and preach from the pulpit, and I'm going to use the 134th Psalm. But at this time you're there. It begins by saying, "Bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion." When I looked at that the first verse of that 134th Psalm, I could not help but think of something that was true in the house of God. It said, "Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord." And then it defines a specific type of service, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. If you will, kind of keep your finger there or a piece of paper. I'll be coming back to that 134th Psalm later on. But let's go over to 1 Chronicles chapter 9, and I'll give you time to get there. 1 Chronicles chapter 9, which of course follows 1 and 2 Kings. 1 Chronicles chapter 9, and I'll give you time to get there. And we're going to look at verse 21. 1 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 21. While you're turning there, I want to read the 134th Psalm, verse 1 again. "Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord." The house of the Lord at the time this was written was the temple. Today, each local visible assembly that is still following and teaching and preaching the things that Christ left it when he trained these men for more than 3 years as they followed him, today, this is the house of God, the house of the Lord. Now let's look at 1 Chronicles chapter 9 and verse 21. "And Zechariah, the son of Meshelemiah, was porter of the door of the tabernacle of the congregation." The word that's used here for porter means a keeper. It means he was responsible for who entered in and out of that door of the tabernacle of the congregation. The tabernacle of the congregation that was mentioned here is a tent in the wilderness, but it also applied later on to the temple mound itself. In 1 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 22, continuing, "All these which were chosen to be porters in the gates were 212. These were reckoned by their genealogy in their villages, whom David and Samuel the seer did ordain in their set office, so that they and their children had the oversight of the gates of the house of the Lord, namely the house of the tabernacle, bywards. In four quarters were the porters toward the east, west, north, and south, and their brethren which were in the villages were to come after 7 days from time to time with them. For these Levites, the four chief porters, were in their set office and were over the chambers and treasuries of the house of God. And they lodged round about the house of God because the charge was upon them, and the opening thereof every morning pertained to them." What this does is tell you how God chose a particular group of people, the Levites, for a particular functionary work. They were of the priesthood, though they themselves were not direct descendants of Aaron, and at least most of them weren't. They did have a priestly function and role to perform. They were the guardians of the gate that led into the tent or tabernacle in the wilderness that was with the nation of Israel as they traveled. Also, when it set at Shiloh. But eventually, the Levites were used for guards in the temple mount. Well, back then, how did one really know whether or not someone loved God? How did they actually, really, truly know? It was very simple. Today, we have a priesthood. The priesthood, according to Peter, is made up of those who are functioning in one of God's local churches. We are the priests of Almighty God. We are responsible for the doors of the entrance into the kingdom of God. We are responsible for the doors of the entrance into the church. We are responsible as men and women who are chosen of God for a particular function. Now, God isn't expecting something out of us like climbing Mount Everest. He isn't counting on us to be spectacular or showy or brazen or to be types of people that perform the ultimate and receive great acclaim and award. God just wants us to show and prove to ourselves that we love him. Take a look back here at this 1 Chronicles chapter 9 again. So how did they show that they loved him? They were assigned a certain watch, a certain place that they were supposed to be. If they loved him, they were at that place. And if they loved him, they stayed awake. Very simple. They didn't have to climb Mount Everest. They didn't have to perform unbelievable, fantastic works that would dazzle the eyes of the people and impress God. All they had to do was what they were assigned. They were supposed to be in a certain place at a certain door. They were porters. They were keepers of the door. They were responsible for being in that place and for staying awake during their watch. That's all they had to do. It wasn't difficult. It wasn't hard. But you would be amazed how many of them failed to do it. You would be amazed at how many of them did not take the actual steps that were necessary before they went to be at the gate. And you would be surprised at how many of them fell asleep. Why did they fall asleep? Why did they not take the steps that the law of Moses directed before they went to the gate? Very simple. They didn't love God. That plain, that simple. Many people have the idea that serving God is a spectacular, dynamic work, and they look to the great leaders of the religious world, and they say, these are great men, they are servants of God. God requires only that you perform the assigned task, and we are all assigned a task. Now, this was the tent or tabernacle in the wilderness. The same thing applied to the temple, which was built later on. These were the house of God. This was where a man was supposed to worship. It is where, when assigned a task, he was supposed to perform it. In this case, a porter at the door. Now let's go from here, if you will, to 1 Timothy 3, 14 and 15. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. 1 Timothy 3, 14 and 15. 1 Timothy 3, verses 14 and 15. And I'm a little slow this morning because usually I have these things marked off and little tabs in here. But I made this thing up during the devotional, and so I'm having to find it myself. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Now remember where we started. Don't forget that. You don't have to turn back to it. Let me read it to you. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Okay. How did they serve God? They were porters of the doors. They served God by being where they were supposed to be, by doing what they were supposed to be doing, by knowing what their assigned duties were, and by being willing to perform them. Now let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 14. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee, but if I tarry long, now he tells you why he wrote them, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So today, each local visible assembly, made up of saved, scripturally baptized believers who are coveted together to carry out the Great Commission, are a replacement for that one single place that God directed men to worship, the temple. Each one of these local temples is a church, and God has given us a responsibility. The reason that preachers, if they have any sense, and many, sometimes I think when people are called, it takes them a long time to learn this. The reason that you should emphasize to people why they should come to church, and the motivation of your heart as a pastor should be this. You should want them there because that's their assigned task. That's their duty. That's what God means them to perform. They're like porters that are put in charge and are to be in a specific place at a specific time. If people understand the importance of coming and worshiping God based on the fact that that's what God expects of them, rather than to have all kind of programs and different types of things to get people to come to church and to keep them there through incentives, it's like tying together a wild herd of buffaloes with a loose strand. It won't work. People need to understand this is why God saved you. This is the place you are supposed to be. And if you will be here, God will reward you beyond your wildest expectations and dreams and imaginations in a spiritual way in the millennial reign when you're in your glorified body and also in the heaven age to follow. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. That's where you need to be. What does God want from me? What does God want from you? We each have our own assigned task, our own assigned work, and you're supposed to be in the place performing it. Now, you may be like Sister George and Sister Barnes. They're old. What can they do? They can pray for us. They can be here in place. Sister George many times has expressed to me, she just doesn't need see why the Lord wants to leave her here. She knows there's a reason, but she can't see anymore, and she can't walk anymore, and all she can do is hear. But her very presence here shows something. She believes it's important to be in the house of God. She believes that her presence here is something that is her duty and her responsibility that God assigned her. Now, it's not our lives that we live by our own strength, but our lives that we live by the faith of God. That's why brother and sister, that's why Sister Barnes is here. That's why Sister George is here. That's why the Clevelands are here. They're not spring chickens anymore, but they're here. That's why our deacon is here. That's the way it is. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God means for you to be in your place. He's not interested in how much power you have. He's not interested in what a dynamic and wonderful person you are. He's not interested in how much talent you have. He's interested in whether or not you want to show your love for him by being in the place you're supposed to be in. With that in mind, let's go over to Mark 13. Mark 13. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, and we'll go down to about verse 31. Mark 13, 31 through 37. And the reason I keep saying this is because I realize the older I get that unless people say something two or three times, it doesn't register. Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, verses 31 through 37. And when I say the Gospel of Mark, I know it's the Lord's Gospel. It's just a way of identifying how to get to it. Mark, chapter 13, verse 31. He has just finished telling them in verse 29. So ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. He's identified earthquakes, famine, pestilence earlier in the chapter. He tells you whenever you see these things start to happen, the coming of Christ is soon. Verily I say unto you that this generation, this last generation, Genea, shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Now, if you are a member of this church, then you need to pay very close attention to this, because we have the same assignment that those Levites had. We are his priesthood. And God is not looking for the spectacular. All those Levites had to do was stand there, watch at duty, be concerned about the house of God and their being in place there doing what they were supposed to do, which was to stay awake and be alert at night. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. If a Levite really loves God, he stood on the Temple Mount at night, and one of the ways he kept awake was by praying. Would you believe that? He did. They had different things that they said, different ways they said it. They lifted up their hands and praised God, and that's one of the ways they stayed awake. As long as you're praising God, as long as you're studying his word, as long as you're where you're supposed to be, you don't have to worry about when he's coming, because you're ready. If you're not in one of God's churches serving God, you're ready to be taken if you know him as Savior, but you're not ready for the judgment seat. Anybody that is trying to praise and serve God in a local visible temple, a local visible church, which replaced the old single temple in Jerusalem, is a person that isn't concerned about the time of his coming. They're concerned only in that they be ready when he comes, and they're in place doing what they're supposed to be doing. So preachers that know the Bible and that care for people are always very concerned about whether or not they stay in church. It is not that we have a fear of losing our reputation because attendance goes down. Now, some preachers, I'm sure, feel that way, but I do not. I want you in church because if you're a child of God, you need to be in a church, and you need to be serving God in that church, and you need to be learning about the things of God. You need to be keeping watch. You need to pray. You need to learn how to pray, and the Bible teaches how to pray. You need to know what's important and what to pray for, and you need to stay awake and be alert so that when he does come, you'll be ready for his coming. Now, notice what he says in the next verse. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey. This, of course, was the Lord Jesus Christ. He was about to be crucified. We're ending the book of Mark. And he knows that he's going to ascend into heaven and there be our intercessor forever, who left his house. His house was standing right there in front of him. It was no longer made of mortar and stone like the old temple. It was made of flesh and bone and the presence of Christ indwelling them. And it was made by obedience through after being saved by grace through faith. They had been submissive to the will of God and had been baptized by John the Baptist. Every one of those fellows that was there with him that he was looking at, standing on that Mount of Olives, was baptized by John the Baptist because God gave John the authority to baptize. He then surrendered it to the church. And now a church that is still preaching and teaching what he taught this group of men is his church. A church that isn't teaching that and practicing it is not his church. So you need to be in a house of God. But not all the buildings that you see here in this town are true houses of God, because inside they have some teachings and beliefs that are contrary to what he taught that first New Testament church and contrary to the doctrines that he delivered through the writers of the New Testament once delivered to the saints. So you need to be in a house of God that you know is a house of God and gave authority to his servants. God gave authority to that church. Just before he ascended, he said, in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. All power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this church has the authority to preach. I am a God-called preacher because I preach what the Bible says, not what men say, not the traditions of men, nor the tradition of the elders. I teach what the Bible says. I'm a God-called preacher, and this is a God-chosen church. We are a New Testament church, and when I say that, I mean we do everything we know how by the grace of God and by His spiritual power to serve Him in this place the way this book directs. We are porters of God. We stand at the door and we watch, and we try to protect the spiritual welfare of each one of the members. We try to protect the spiritual welfare and belief of those people. You need to be in such a church if you're not in such a church. All I can do is tell you. I can't force you. I will not force you. I will teach you the Word of God. I'll pray for you, and I'll want you here, but I will not force you. I will not badger you. But I will tell you, you need to be in a church that preaches and teaches the Word of God, and if you're not, you need to get in one, not for our sake, not for the Lord's sake, but for your own sake. And gave authority to his servants and to every man his work. The word that's used for man in this context can mean man or woman. Everybody's got something to do in God's church. You don't have to worry about what it is. Just be concerned about whether or not you're submissive. Just be concerned about whether you're in your place. If you come to church and you listen to God's word and you're regular and you're here when the word is preached, then don't worry. If you want to do what God wants, just give him enough time and you be faithful and prove to yourself that you love him. And then God will give you something to do in that church. That's the way God operates. Not everybody is called to be the pastor of this church. I am. Not everybody is called to do a particular thing in this church or led to do a particular thing. God leads the individual members in their heart as to what to do. So the real question is, what are you willing to do for God? Are you willing to do something that's your preconceived idea? Are you willing to wait? God has a work for every man in this church. Now notice the last part. And commanded the porter to watch. Aha. Now remember those porters that were assigned at the gate? What were they supposed to do? To watch. What does watch mean? It means to watch, long for, anxiously desire the coming of Christ. It means in your heart to want to serve him and to serve him faithfully in the idea that is flowing through the heart and mind, Lord, I want to be ready when you come. And if you're trying to serve God in his church, just because you believe it is his church, because you believe it is his body, and you believe it is his will, you're watching. If you're wasting away your life and you're so tied to the things of the world that you work the church into your busy schedule, you don't love the Lord. I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. You don't love the Lord, because a person that loves the Lord and is assigned a task will be there and be faithful. God's not asking you to climb Mount Everest. God's not asking you to be a dynamic world leader and everyone say, oh, what a wonderful work he's done for God. He's just asking you to be in your place. He's asking you to do what you were called for. This is what I was called to do. This is what I'm supposed to do. This is what I'm doing. But if I were a child of God who could not speak and who was deaf and dumb and knew what I know now, I would be cleaning the bathrooms or I would be doing anything that I could to try and please God if I knew what I know now. And what I know now is it's not so much the talent you have or the ability you have, but it's whether or not you're willing to serve God and you're willing to be in your place. That's what this is all about. That's what it's always been about. Then it gives a warning. He says, watch ye therefore. Conclusion. If you don't watch, if you don't do the assigned task, if you don't love God, and those things are merely a manifestation after you've been saved that you do, he says, watch ye therefore. For ye know not when the master of the house cometh. We don't know if he's coming at evening, at midnight, cock crowing in the morning. When the high priest came, neither did they. That's referring to the high priest, but he's using it as an analogy to teach us about his coming. Lest coming suddenly, he finds you sleeping. We've got people on this church roll that haven't been to church in 15 years. They're asleep. They're not lost. They're asleep. We've got born-again believers on this church roll that haven't been to church in 15 years. They're unaware of what's going on. Remember when Saddam Hussein was going to go in and was going to invade Kuwait, did invade Kuwait, and then we had Operation Desert Storm? Do you know that the Sunday that it looked like the attack was imminent for our troops to go in, we had 165 people in this building. Do you know why we had 165 people in this building? They thought it was Armageddon. That's how ignorant they were. They thought Saddam Hussein might be the Antichrist. Their knowledge was so cotton thick and limited, they didn't know zip about the Lord. They didn't know zip about prophecy. They didn't know zip about anything because they sat on their duffs and never came to church. Well, that's your right. That's your privilege. But I'm telling you that unless you're in your place, unless you're serving God, unless you're listening to His Word, and unless you're submitted, when you come before that judgment seat of Christ, here's the one thing you're going to get judged for. Whether or not you loved Him. And you can say all you want, you can think all you want, you can do all you want. But the truth is, if you're not in your place serving God, doing what God wants in one of His local churches, you're out of the will of God in your life, and your heart's not right with God. I'm not telling you you're going to hell, but I'm telling you at the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to be caught sleeping. Sleeping like somebody that wasn't even aware of what was going on because you had too much of the world in your heart and in your life, and you knew all about the things in the world, but you didn't know zip about the Bible or about the things that God had left His Word here to teach you with. Lest coming suddenly, He find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all. Watch. Once the Lord organized His church and empowered it at Pentecost. He organized it during His earthly ministry and empowered it at Pentecost. Then from that day forward, the temple was of no effect. That temple that was made of mortar and stone was replaced by thousands of local temples all over the earth. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 2:17. 1 Corinthians 2:17. My motive in doing this is not to get on to you, or to make you mad, or to offend you, or to irritate you. By the grace of God and Jesus Christ, I'm doing the best I know how to help you. 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And let's see. No, it's 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And let's go down to verse 11. 1 Corinthians 3:11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. All right, if you know Him as your Savior, you've got the foundation. Now, what are you going to build on it? Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. What's gold, silver, and precious stones? Those are the things found in God's Word. Those are the things that people that watch find. Those are the people that find a reason for living. And they build on the foundation. Those are the people that come to understand that baptism is important. And the way you're baptized is important. You need to be baptized by a church that has the authority. You need to be baptized by immersion. And it needs to be by the authority of a church that is a church that still preaches and teaches New Testament doctrine. And they are building a correct house on the foundation. Every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, where which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. That word by is through fire. That's not talking about going to hell. It's talking about all your works being burned up. Burned up because you never did follow the admonition of the Lord to watch. You had an assignment, but you stood watch in a place that wasn't even something that God recognized. You stood watch in your life and you weren't where God wanted you. And because where God wanted you required an effort on your part, you just weren't interested in that. You wanted a church that was easy. You wanted a church where they had entertainment and fun and games and all kind of exciting things going on. And you judged the church not by whether it taught the Word of God, but by what kind of entertainment they provided for your children, or about what kind of feeling that you had when you went out the door based on the ability to stir your carnal man. You weren't after the truth, and you didn't want to go to a place where you stood watch and where your life counted for something, and where you delivered it over to the Lord and made your life an offering to Him after you were saved, because He first offered His life for you and made it possible for you to serve Him. Now take a look at what this says next. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? See that ye? It's Emmaus. It's plural. Absolutely, positively, God breathed, inspired. It's plural. He's not talking about an individual body. Yes, your individual body is a temple of God, and in another place it does mean that. And out of your belly is supposed to flow fountains of living waters. Yes, the body is referred to as a temple, but not this temple. This is talking about the house of God. That's plural. It's talking about the church of God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in? See that word in? Ain? It's among you. Can be in or among. Either one. Among you. The Spirit of God indwells every one of His churches that's preaching and teaching the Word, that's still practicing the ordinances of the Lord's Supper and baptism exactly as He delivered them. If they're not practicing those ordinances the way God said, they are not His church. He said, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. He says, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, For the temple of God is holy, whose temple ye are. See that ye? It's plural. It's Himaeus. Talking about a temple of God built up, made not of mortar and stone, but of living bodies. You are supposed to be in your place if you're a member of one of God's churches. And if you're not a member of one of God's churches, you need to get in one. Not to be saved or not to stay saved, but because that's where God means for you to be. The reason I know this is God's church is because we are practicing and preaching and teaching the same identical things that were once delivered to the saints, delivered to those men that followed Jesus for more than 3 years, and then completed in a final form when John wrote the last book of the Bible in Revelation, the book of Revelation in 95-96 A.D. This is what we live by. This is what we die by. This is a house of God made not of mortar and stone, but of living bodies of flesh put together and builded together for a habitation of God's Spirit among us. Yes, God's Holy Spirit indwells every believer, but God's Holy Spirit indwells each local New Testament church in a very special way. You want to see the building that's put together for a habitation of God's Spirit? A plural building made up of human beings, flesh and blood, that are following the directives of Christ exactly as He delivered them? Then take a look at Ephesians 2:22. Let's go to Ephesians 2:22. Ephesians 2:22. And I'll give you time to get there. Ephesians 2:22. Many people are saved, but they never really are willing to commit to serving God in a local church. Why? They have the wrong idea about what service is. I'm a sinner in the flesh, and I sin daily, and I ask God to forgive me, and I pick up myself, and I go on. I can't live above sin. It's impossible. But I can be in the place where I'm supposed to be. That's where I am this morning. That's where I am supposed to be. I'm supposed to be in that place. I'm supposed to be serving the living God. I'm assigned a responsibility. This is a work I have to do. I don't have to do it. I have a choice. Do you see me climb Mount Everest? Do you see anything that this little short, fat, dumpy man can do that you can't do? Do you see anything that these two elderly ladies sitting here are capable of doing that would be classified as dynamic? I think what they're doing is dynamic. They're here where they're supposed to be, doing what they can. You need to be in God's church doing what you can. It's plain, it's simple, and when you come before the judgment seat of Christ, it certainly won't be complicated. Ephesians 2:22. In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. That's not an individual. It's a building together of men and women who are coveted together after salvation to be baptized the way the Lord saith and to follow the way the Lord saith. With all this in mind, let's go back to where we started. Psalm 134. I hope that this all made sense. It was something I put together while I was sitting there during the devotional. I don't think I necessarily put it together. I think the Lord laid it on my heart. And I don't think I turned to the 134th Psalm instead of the 34th by accident. Because there it was. It jumped out and bit me. So what does God want from us? Same thing He wanted from the porters in that first church. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. You remember back there when we were looking at the different assignments and things that the authority was given in Mark? He said and commanded the porter to watch. We're all porters. God's given you responsibility. Now what does God want you to do? Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. He didn't tell them to climb Mount Everest. He didn't tell them to go and do the impossible, to dream the impossible dream. He didn't tell them to fight against windmills. He didn't tell them to be sensational. What did He say? He said, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. How are you going to serve God out of the place, outside the place that He directed, the church? How are you going to please God outside the church? I know people that are continually looking for something to do to please God, and they're not in God's church, and they're flittering their lives away and wasting their ministries. They may be famous, they may be noteworthy, they may be on television, and the whole world may think that they're God's directly related men who were called of God to do what they're doing. They may be saved, and they may know the Lord as Savior, but they sure don't know where they're supposed to be. The church is not universal and invisible, never has been, never will be. That's the family of God. But after you get saved and become a child of God, he says, now come on, you want to serve me? You get in a place where you're supposed to be and do it. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. You want to serve God? Make up your mind that when this church assembles and meets, you're going to be here. And if you're not a part of it, you need to be a part of it. Because it's something that God wants from every one of his children after they're saved. The Lord that made heaven and earth blessed thee out of Zion. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You know something that's even more important than that? Heaven and earth shall pass away. My words shall not pass away. You're going to be judged by those words, and I'm going to be judged by those words. When you consider all these things out here, how is it the song goes? It took a miracle to hang the worlds in place. It took a miracle to put the stars in space. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. Well, it took a love of miracle and grace to save you. And you were saved by grace through faith. But why not make up your mind that serving God, who made heaven and earth, is important because of what he said concerning what was going to follow. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away. The very earth that God created, the very heaven as we know it. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. How are you going to feel when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ? And you sat here this morning and you listened to this message, and you listened to this man as he expounded God's word, and you still refused to be in the place where God wanted you. You have to answer to God. That's all I'm trying to do. And it's not for any other reason than to warn you of the things that are coming on this earth. My friends, you don't have much time. As Johnny comes, as the pianist comes, I've shown you God's word. The rest is a personal matter between you and his spirit. Are you in the place serving God where you should be? Are you saved? Do you know Christ as your Savior? I thank God you do. Because you can't serve God until you're saved. God makes you a child. You become a part of the family of God. But then God says, come on, I want to put you in a local visible place, serving me in a local visible way, and I want you to start watching and being where you're supposed to be. Every child of God is supposed to be in his church serving you. Whether or not you do is dependent upon how much you love God. This morning, as the invitation is given, I hope you'll come. 378. Please stand.